from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Democrats want some to be extra equal. OBGYNs want more abortion funding, and an American businessman has been held in China for 10 years. That's all coming up on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. We have a diverse set of topics for this week's show, and to start us off, we're going to take an in-depth look at House Resolution 5, the so-called Equality Act. But as it turns out, it just makes one group of people more equal than others and takes away constitutional rights. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss the bill is Representative James Comer of Kentucky.
Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
I want to play just a short clip of your opening statement because I think you really nailed this when it comes to the threats here and how many Americans should be and are concerned about this. So I want to play this clip, and I'm going to get you to elaborate on it. Play clip number two.
As I look at H.R. 5 and learn more about what's in the bill, I'm deeply troubled, and I believe most Americans would be deeply troubled by what's really there. This bill is following in the tradition of others we have seen so far throughout Congress. A clever name, an allegedly noble purpose, but a vehicle for serious, harmful consequences. It's completely unacceptable that this bill today totally guts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993.
Congressman, what troubles you about this bill?
Well, in addition to gutting the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is our religious liberties, it also amends the Civil Rights Act to elevate sexual orientation and gender identity to protected classes in federal anti-discrimination law, which means that by the way the bill's written, if any place where people gather, which includes government buildings, it could include private businesses, and it certainly includes churches, they have to adhere to this law with respect to, for example, transgender people. And if a transgendered person went into your church and wanted to use the transgender bathroom, if the church didn't have a transgender bathroom, then the church is subject to a lawsuit. And it's totally a slap in the face of Christian religious institutions, and it's just it's a sad day for the United States Congress to have the majority party pushing a bill that would do this. It would also do things like allow a child that was born a male that thinks they're a female would allow them to be able to play on the girls' sports teams in high school. I mean, it's a terrible piece of legislation.
Congressman Comer, let me go back to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. As you say, and I agree with you 100%, I do think that this bill guts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I think that's a part of the intention here. But let's go back, for the benefit of our listeners, to the purpose of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and what that does for the American people in protecting religious freedom, not for institutions, you know, like churches and stuff, and that's important, but it recognizes religious freedom is an individual right guaranteed to us by the Constitution.
Absolutely. And what we have here is a group of radicals that are trying to change that religious liberty, to try to change the Civil Rights Act, which I think most people would agree righted many wrongs in the past, and create a special protected class. You know, nobody wants to discriminate against anyone. But what this bill does is creates a special class that has privilege above almost every taxpaying, hardworking, God-fearing American, and I just think it's very wrong, and I think if you polled it in America, it would not poll very well at all. But you would be surprised at the numbers of bills that they're trying to pass through this Education and Labor Committee that include language protecting transgender Americans, and it doesn't even clearly define what a what is transgender? If a man says he's a woman, then it would give him the right to go in a female bathroom or in an elementary school. It's just unthinkable that they would have a major piece of legislation. This is H.R. 5. They give their priority bills. You know, Congress will have hundreds and hundreds of bills filed, but the top 10 bills are the priority bills. This is number 5. And it's a sad day for Congress, in my opinion.
And to be very clear on this, Congressman Comer, we're not talking about allowing people to discriminate against individuals, but what you're saying here and what this bill does is it elevates a mutable characteristic. You know, one of the things in the 1964 Civil Rights Act is that we protect certain classes that are based on immutable characteristics, race, sex. I mean, you can't change that. At least you couldn't back then.
Right.
I'd say you can, but these are things that are just there. You're born with them. The facts are science does not support the idea that gender is fluid, that you can change it. Now, you can change what you think in your head, but you cannot change your biological sex. And when you go down this path, there's nothing objective anymore. There's no way to prove anything anymore. But what's sacrificed here, and I think this is what you were pointing out in your comments, is religious freedom. From a standpoint of most Americans who still have a moral compass and they understand that there are boundaries to human sexuality, they become the victims of laws like this.
Absolutely. It what the majority party, the Democrat Party in the House, is trying to do is to adopt a new ideology about human sexuality. It's an ideology that very few people in America agree with. If anybody's being discriminated in this law, it you know, most Christians. And again, nobody wants to discriminate, but this opens the door for lawsuits everywhere.
Right.
And it could hurt the medical profession because you could sue hospitals or doctors for declining to perform hysterectomies on otherwise healthy women who wanted to pursue gender transition. And we already passed a bill through the House. It was, you know, obviously I voted against it, and just about every Republican voted against it. But it pertained to military funding, and it would force the military to pay for a sex change operation if someone joined the military and determined, well, I'm a different sex than I was when I joined, and I want a sex change operation. I mean, it's hard to believe that this is happening. Not only are the bills being filed, they're being rapidly moved through the House of Representatives and passing with a majority vote on the House floor.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us, Congressman James Comer, my guest from Kentucky. Discussing H.R. 5, which was on Capitol Hill yesterday in a subcommittee hearing. This is, as Congressman Comer said, one of the top priorities of the Democratic Party. As you were pointing out just a moment ago, that they're adopting this unscientific view of human sexuality, which the vast majority of Americans just they don't agree with it. They don't. They know it's not real. But through legislation like this, they're using the force of law to to re-educate people, to adopt this way of thinking, even though there is no scientific basis for it.
Exactly. And I don't think anyone wants to discriminate against these people, but I don't think they want their hard-earned tax dollars to go to pay for sex change operations. They don't want their churches to be forced to have to build additional bathrooms that can only be used by transgender people who, by the way, may never attend that church, and force the public schools to change their whole athletic policies to where if there are students that were born a boy and they determine that they're a girl, they can play on the girls' basketball team and take a shower in the girls' locker room. It's just unthinkable, well, some of the things they're trying to do.
By the way, I don't think they'll be satisfied with forcing institutions, churches, or others building separate facilities, transgender facilities. They're going to force those institutions to allow them to use whichever shower, bathroom, whatever they want,
right,
which then, you know, clearly tramples upon the rights of the, you know, 99% of the other people.
So. Exactly. I'm the father of two school-age girls, and I don't think anyone that's in my situation would want to see a scenario where a boy is legally allowed to take a shower in the girls' locker room with girls, and that would be the case if H.R. 5 mm-hmm. became law.
So, Congressman Comer, what do folks need to do?
Well, they need to call their representatives and senators in Washington, make sure that they get the message that this may be politically correct with the liberal news media, but this is not what the majority, the overwhelming majority of Americans want. So I can speak with confidence. When I get a message from someone in the district, it matters, especially if they're a good person that doesn't call all the time on every different bill. If they call, that matters. And sometimes 5 or 10 messages make the difference,
yeah,
if they're from good people back home in the district. And I hope that people listening never underestimate the power of picking up the phone and calling your congressman or getting on the computer and sending them an email. Those yeah. matter and make a difference.
Well, I certainly know your constituency is behind you on this issue because most of my family comes from Kentucky, so I know where those folks are at. Congressman Comer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about James Comer as well as HR 5 when you visit TonyPerkins.com. You can also track these important issues and listen to the show when you get the Stand Firm app for your smartphone. That's at TonyPerkins.com.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. When someone mentions an OBGYN, you probably have thoughts of a pregnant mom or the doctor that delivers her baby. But the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists has joined in the fight to get the government to fund abortions. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about this is the Executive Director of the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, Dr. Donna Harrison.
Dr. Harrison, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Now, I think you and I both agree that abortion is not health care. So why would the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists be fighting to let abortion clinics compete with family planning dollars?
Well, ACOG, as the shortening for American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, is actively a pro-abortion advocacy organization. And I'll quote from one of their committee opinions. They say, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists calls for advocacy to oppose and overturn restrictions, improve access, and maintain abortion as an integral component of women's health care. And they do not represent most OB-GYNs in this country, because there's been several surveys that have looked at OB-GYNs and how many of them do abortions. 85% of OB-GYNs do not do abortions, and yet ACOG uses our money to advocate for abortion. So they are not a neutral scientific organization.
Well, Dr. Harrison, let me ask you, were you surprised that they actually joined this lawsuit against the Trump administration? I mean, again, what the Trump administration was doing is just saying, all right, if you're going to do that with your own dime. Don't do it on the taxpayer dime. And if you want Title X funding for family planning, It's got to be separate. Are you surprised that they joined a lawsuit to stop that?
I'm not at all surprised. And you are correct in your assessment of Title X. It's simply to say we don't want taxpayer funding to pay for abortions or to pay for directing people to get abortions. So because ACOG is so committed to abortion and to promoting abortion, they are willing to use their heft and their appearance of speaking for OB-GYNs to join every lawsuit. And that's actually part of what my organization does, the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs. We started out as a subsection of ACOG. But when ACOG marches into the courtroom and says, we represent OB-GYNs in this country, we march into the courtroom and say, we also are a professional organization, and many of our members are also members of ACOG, and you never pulled your membership. You do not speak for OB-GYNs in this country.
You know, we're seeing more and more of this, of these associations of professionals, especially in the medical field, where they are going out taking positions that are in contradiction to their membership, and it appears that the left kind of focuses their attention on grabbing control of these associations so that they can speak, or at least and speak incorrectly for so many other professionals that are out there.
You're right, and that's actually what's happened with ACOG. Much historically, many of the people who were in leadership in ACOG had significant ties or were also in leadership in Planned Parenthood. So there's a long historical relationship between Planned Parenthood and ACOG leadership, and it's time that people understood that ACOG is not an independent scientific organization. It is an abortion advocacy organization.
So as an organization of pro-life OBGYNs, are you providing a counter voice in the legal realm as they try to stop the administration? Are you speaking out in support?
Yes, we are. We're speaking out in support of the administration, and we're telling our membership what Title X actually says. And I have to make one disclaimer. ACOG actually does put out some good stuff on things unrelated to abortion, right? Mm-hmm. They have great scientific papers on, how do you handle incontinence and how do you handle other medical issues. So ACOG does speak well on scientific issues, but when they get into the arena of public policy, they do not speak for OB-GYNs in their pro-abortion advocacy, and that's why APLOG exists. Because we needed to counter this pro-abortion advocacy, and we are telling people that what the Title X rules do is they actually prevent taxpayer money from being spent to promote abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Harrison, we thank you for joining us, and thank you for your advocacy work. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Dr. Donna Harrison when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you'll see a way to join our effort to send a pro-life message to Congress in the form of a thermal baby hat. Our goal is to send Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office 90,000 baby hats. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
In New York, Virginia, and Vermont.
Happy birthday to you.
They're expanding abortion, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Every life should be welcomed with love, not hate, not death. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In 2006, Pastor David Lin, a U.S. citizen, was placed under house arrest and prevented from leaving China. At the time he was detained, he was in the process of seeking government approval for a Christian ministry. Since then, he has been jailed, accused of contract fraud, been given a show trial, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison. And now, some disturbing events have caused the family to fear for his safety. Joining Tony to discuss David Lin is his daughter, Alice Lin.
Alice, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing the story of your father. And I just want to kind of lay the groundwork and talk about how your father got to China in this prison. He came to the United States, was not a believer. Your mother became a believer. He then became a follower of Jesus Christ, feeling compelled to minister to the people in China, to unbelievers. He went back to China to begin a Christian ministry, but was then first placed under house arrest, ultimately tried, convicted, and placed in prison. Are those the facts?
Yeah, Tony, my father, you know, Pastor David Lin, he's a U.S. citizen. He's been in prison for his faith. We don't know the exact details around his case, but in my father's own words, this is what he told us. I was preaching the gospel. Maximum security people started to investigate me. They forged documents. I didn't do anything wrong. And what we do know is that he was in China because he had this huge burden for the unchurched in China. He had a vision to build a church and a Christian training center. And in 2006, he had applied for a license for his ministry from the Chinese government. And it was a few months after that he was placed under house arrest and eventually falsely charged and convicted.
Now, he is the limited contact that you've had with your father over the last decade is that he actually was embracing this call to prison to minister, because he said he had the ability to minister to people of over 30 nations within the prisons.
That's right, Tony. My father has this incredible faith. I mean, he has been the one who has been encouraging us and reminding us to trust in God's plan. And he's the one that's in prison. His last message to us as a free man that we got through the U.S. Embassy, he told us, don't worry. God knows what he's doing. It is God's wish that I'm here. There are many people inside who need to hear God's word. Please don't worry, but only pray for me. I will be back in the U.S. soon.
But Alice, something's,
that was 10 years ago.
Something's happened.
Yeah. I mean, those words he said to us 10 years ago. And while my father has seen the prison as his God-ordained mission field in these last 10 years, something has changed. In December, we had this huge scare. He reached out to me urgently, asking me to have his Bible translations removed. And we're so grateful that the embassy was able to oblige and go and remove his Bible translation. And so that embassy sent home his Bible translations to us. In that box with his Bible translations, we not only got the Bible translation, but we also found his Bible and all the cards and pictures and letters that we've ever sent him over the years. That Bible has sustained him for the last 10 years. It's like a man in the desert sending home his only bottle of water. When my mom opened that box, she was hysterical. She knew that there was something wrong. We don't know what's happening exactly, but we know that something serious is happening in that dark place.
So, Alice, have you had any further communication with your father since then?
Yeah. So in the last couple of months, he has been reaching out to us at an increased frequency, which is very unusual. And he's had this anxiousness and urgency in his voice. It's the first time he's ever asked us to reach out for help. He actually knew the ambassador, Terry Branstad, in the 90s and asked us to reach out to him and ask him to visit him in prison.
So
we just know that there's something going on.
Let's talk a little bit about, for this decade, I mean, I just want people to put this in context. What is your father, who's now 64 years old, what has he missed during these over 13 years that he's been back in China?
My father has missed a lot. You know, 10 years is a long time. My father missed my brother's graduation. He missed my wedding. I didn't have a ceremony, actually, because my father wasn't here to walk me down the aisle. I'm still waiting for him to come home. He missed the birth of his grandson, his only grandson. He celebrated his 60th birthday alone. My mother has been operating as if she's a widow for the last 12 years. My father's missed a lot, and things are changing now. So it's time to bring him back home.
And so you have, there's a website that you have created, freepastorlin.com. That's freepastorlin, L-I-N, .com. What are you calling on the evangelical community or the Christian community and Americans in general who understand the importance of religious freedom, an American citizen who was a businessman, by the way, before he came to know Christ and then felt compelled to go share the gospel but imprisoned unjustly by a foreign government. What are you calling on your fellow Americans to do?
Tony, thanks for asking. The most important thing we can do is pray. We have seen God's hand here. He has preserved my father all these years. Pray for his safety. Pray that the Lord continues to keep him under his mighty wing. Pray that he can come home soon. We're encouraging everyone to visit that website and sign up for updates and commit to praying for my father.
And folks, I want to encourage you to do that. I can tell you how powerful this is. And Alice, I know that just what we saw with Pastor Andrew Brunson when he knew that Americans were praying for him, and I was able to actually take him a list of, 16,000 people who were praying for him, how encouraging that was to him. And so I'm going to encourage our listeners to go to the website freepastorlin, that's LIN.com. And commit to pray for Pastor David Lin, that the Lord will bring him home, that our government will advocate for him, that the Chinese will do what is right, and let him come home to his family here in the United States. Alice, we're going to be tracking this very, very closely. We're going to encourage people not only to pray, but also to encourage our government, even now as we're negotiating a trade deal with China, that we demand that China recognize basic human rights, chief among them being religious freedom. Alice, thank you for your courage and for your boldness in speaking out on behalf of your father.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you and for your listeners.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.